Thank you, Trey. Open your Bibles back to Acts chapter 15. Title for the message this evening comes from verse 11. It's the last few words of verse 11. We shall be saved, even as they. I want to consider this question this evening. How? How shall we be saved? Verse 1, we see how easily, how easily works religion can raise its ugly head, even among God's people. It says, certain men which came down from Judea. Now, it doesn't say certain brethren. It just says certain men. Can't help but wonder, were these wolves in sheep's clothing? They were men that had brought a false gospel. And they didn't just say you need to be circumcised like Moses. They said this: except ye be circumcised as Moses, you cannot be saved. You can't be healed. You can't be preserved. You can't be made whole. Let's stop right there for a minute. Let me ask you this question. What do the scriptures say? What do the scriptures say? In Romans 3, verse 20, turn over there to just a few pages to Romans chapter 3. Look, beginning with verse 19 of Romans 3. Here we read, now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Lead on. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by circumcision, by keeping of days, by so-called righteous living, by religious works, by the deeds of the law, by what we do, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. These certain men, they said again, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. But the scriptures declare quite the opposite, don't they? By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. We read in God's word, if they speak not according to his word, it's because there's no light in it. How often does man say one thing and the scriptures declare something quite the opposite? No wonder those Bereans were known as noble Bereans, because they went home and they searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. The law cannot say. The law cannot justify. The law cannot give us righteousness. No. No, the law can, it can do a few things. One, it can shut our mouths and declare us guilty before Almighty God. The law can most certainly do that. The law can make it very clear to us our sin and our depravity. The law can shut us up to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Scriptures say the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Back here in our text, back in Acts 15, verse 2, Paul and Barnabas, it said they had no small dissension and disputation. Paul and Barnabas didn't just let this go. They didn't say, well, you know, those fellows, they mean well. You know, they've got good intentions. Have we heard that before? Twice in Galatians 1, we read, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be cursed. These certain men were perverting the gospel of Christ. And we read that Paul and Barnabas would go up to Jerusalem under the apostles and elders about this question. Verse 3, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And it says they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Maybe they told them of the conversion of Cornelius back there in Acts chapter 10. Look back there a few pages. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 22. Cornelius was a centurion, a just man, one that feared God, one that had a good report among the Jews. And he was warned of God to send for Peter to hear the word from him. Look at verse 33. It says, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we're all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Peter preached the gospel. Peter preached the gospel to Cornelius. And look back, not just Cornelius, look back in verse 24. It says, the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and his dear friends. I'm sure Cornelius was thrilled to hear the gospel, but boy, he desired it. Don't we desire the best for our loved ones? He called for them. He called his kinsmen. He called his family. He called his friends. He wanted them to hear what Peter had to say. And looking at Acts 10, beginning in verse 34. What did he have to say? Beginning with verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. In every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it was he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then prayed they him to tarry there certain days. Peter preached the gospel of God's grace to them. Look in verse 36. The Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have peace with God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Look at verse 39. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Christ crucified. There he bore our sins. Verse 40, the Lord Jesus Christ, who God raised up. Oh, he was satisfied with that sacrifice. And he showed him openly. God spake from heaven. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 41, he showed him openly. He revealed him. And it says, not to all the people. Not to everybody, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. Verse 42, the Lord Jesus Christ, ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness. Prophesied throughout the Old Testament that whosoever, Jew, Gentile, bond, free, man, woman, boy, girl, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. Paul, writing to Timothy, he said, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able. And listen, the Holy Ghost fell on all that heard the word. And they believed. What a miracle of God's grace that a man could believe the gospel, to believe the truth. And in verse 48, we read they were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They confessed the Lord Jesus Christ in believers' baptism. Now back to our text here in Acts 15. Verse 3, Paul and Barnabas declared the conversion of the Gentiles. And listen, that caused great joy. Is there anything we enjoy to hear more than one of our loved ones confessing Christ? Oh, to hear the gospel, that brings great joy. Now, it doesn't bring great joy to all men. Some men hear this gospel and they go away angry. But to his people, oh, it brings great joy. Rejoice that the gospel was being preached. Rejoice in the spreading of the gospel, that the gospel was going forth and being preached. Rejoiced in the salvation of sinners. The scriptures declare this, that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. Let's read on here. Acts 15, look at verse 4. When they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and the elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. And there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Look at verse 7. When there had been much disputing, there had been a lot of questions, a lot of discussion. There had been some, no doubt, some argument on both sides. Peter rose up. I don't believe Peter was there to debate anything. He was there to declare the truth. And I suspect when he stood up, he had the audience. I just feel like he would have had that presence. When that mob came after our Lord in the garden, it was Peter that took off one of them's ear. And it didn't seem like there was any hesitation on his part. And here in Acts 15, Peter, speaking to this group of men, he says, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Who made the choice? God. God made the choice. God does the choosing. In Ephesians 1:4, we read, "According as he hath chosen us in him for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." God made choice. He does the choosing. The Gentiles are going to hear the gospel, and they're going to believe, just like Cornelius did. Verse 8, "And our God, which knoweth the hearts," oh, does God know the heart? Oh, he knows the heart. He knows all things. "All things are manifest, naked and manifest in his sight, with whom we have to do." And Peter, boy, Peter knew this by experience, didn't he? Peter knew that something about the Lord knowing his heart. Remember when Peter, just like the rest of the disciples, he said, I'll die with you before I deny you. And yet he denied him three times. And the third time he heard that rooster crow, and he remembered what the Lord had said to him. And later our Lord asked him, he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Ask him that three times. And he said, "Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know all things." He bare them, God which knoweth the heart, he bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. God knows the heart. That's what he told Samuel. He said, "The Lord doesn't look on," he said, "the Lord doesn't see like man see it. We look on the outward countenance. But God, Almighty God, looks on the heart of man." Verse 9, "And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." There is no difference between us and them. Scriptures say this: all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. All have sinned. Listen, we're all guilty of the same sin. We share the same, but here's the good news. We share the same redemption. Christ, having redeemed us by the blood of his cross. Listen, a people out of every people, nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. There is no difference. The same blessings of pardon, of justification, of adoption. We're all called by the same gospel, his gospel. No more, scriptures say no more strangers, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God. There's no difference. Same foundation, same privileges, same hope of eternal glory. All in the Lord Jesus Christ. No difference between us and them. Purifying their hearts by faith. The heart. There's where the issue is, isn't it? This heart. This desperate, wicked heart. Jeremiah wrote, the heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? And only God can cleanse it. Only God can give us a new heart. As Ezekiel said, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit I'll put within you. I'll take away that stony heart, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Only God can do that. Acts 15, verse 10. So he says, now, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? A yoke, a burden that we're unable to bear. Not just circumcision, but the whole law. No man is able to keep the law. Adam proved that right away. Just one law that could not be could be kept. And listen, to offend, the scriptures tell us this, to offend in one point, just one little point. We try to argue things. Was it really that bad? Yes, it's worse than that. Huh? One point is to be guilty of the whole law. And the problem is not with the law. The law is perfect. Huh? It's this flesh. It's this flesh. The law reveals our sin. We read that earlier. Reveals our sin. And the law can do one thing, and that's condemn us. And rightfully so. We read this earlier. By the deeds of the law there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now back to the question. How is a man saved? Jew, Gentile, bond, free, young, old, rich, poor? How is a man saved? Well, here in Acts 15:11, look at the conclusion. Here's the answer. Peter says, we believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Quickly, let me give you just four points from this passage. Four things to consider. And the first is this: man's condition. Man's condition. My condition. Our condition. Your condition. Here it is. We're lost, and we must be saved. Dead in trespasses and sin. The fact that we must be saved declares just that, that we're lost, and we have to be saved. When Peter was walking, when he was walking on the sea, and he saw those waves, and he was afraid, and it began to sink. That's when he cried. It wasn't until he began to sink that he cried. But as he was sinking, he cried, Lord, save me. If you leave me to myself, I'll perish. I have no hope. I have no help. And a man can know nothing of salvation until he sees his lost condition. That must be revealed to us. Man doesn't need saved unless he's lost. You see that in our lost and ruined condition. We must be saved. Just like Lazarus, we lay there in the grave. It said his body began to stink. And that's where he continued to be until the Lord passes by and says, "Lazarus, come forth. Dead in trespasses and sin." Second, salvation by grace alone. The sovereign grace of God. Isn't that what we read there? We believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, what do the scriptures declare? We read this: "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves; it's the gift of God, electing grace, redeeming grace, justifying grace, saving grace, keeping grace, sovereign." Sovereign grace. God's sovereign grace. The hymn writer wrote this: "Saved by grace alone, that's my only plea. Jesus died for sinful men. Jesus died for me. Man's sin. We must be saved. Salvation by God's free and sovereign grace." And we see this: perseverance. It doesn't say we might be saved. It doesn't say we hope to be saved. It doesn't say we should be saved. It says we shall be saved. There's all doubts removed there, isn't it? We shall be saved. And listen, if God saved you, rest assured, you're saved. We rest in Him. That's what the Scriptures declare. He said this. The Lord Jesus Christ said this of His sheep. He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We read that this: "He that hath begun a good work in you." You know, I start things all the time. Occasionally, I almost finish them. What does the Scripture say? "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it." He'll complete it. He'll finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said, "Mary's going to bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin." Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning with verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept." His people are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Preserves his people. We're kept by the power of Almighty God. And then fourth, turn back to Acts chapter 15. Here we read, "We shall be saved even as they." Imagine that, a disciple, one of his apostles, saved just like an old Gentile, a Gentile dog. Huh? Spurgeon once preached a message titled this, "A Sermon for the Worst Man on Earth." That speaks to every one of us, doesn't it? That's the message we need. That's the message we must have. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. "We shall be saved even as they." Look, beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 8. Just we'll read four verses here. "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them." Imagine this. Just imagine this. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching to this group of people. Here he is in the temple. The people came to him and he sat down and he taught them. You know, anytime we gather together for the purpose of worshiping the Lord, might do us good to consider this. We're here to hear God's word. We're here to hear the preaching of the gospel, to worship our Lord and Savior. But look what happened here. These scribes and Pharisees, they brought unto, rather than sitting down and taking their seat and listening to what the master had to say, they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, well, they had no interest in worshiping the Lord, did they? They set her in the midst, and they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act of it." In the very act of it. "And they said this, 'She was taken in the very act of adultery.'" You know, there's no mention of who she was taken in the act of adultery with. Maybe it was a friend of theirs. Maybe it was one of them. The scriptures are silent. Maybe it was someone of influence that they didn't want to offend. The law says that such should be stoned. That's what they said. The law says such should be stoned. Well, would you be under the law? Do you hear what the law says? They were tempting him. They were looking for an opportunity to accuse him. Now, let me ask you a question. What does the law say in this matter? They left some of that. I won't have you turn there, but in Leviticus 20, verse 10, it says this, that the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's what the scriptures say. And we read here on in here, it says this, that when the Lord heard this, he stooped down. He stooped down. Did one ever stoop down like our Lord did? I mean, he stooped down here in this situation. But consider this. That being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man and became obedient unto death, even to death of the cross. He stooped down, didn't he? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says he was made sin for us. No man stooped down like our Lord did, but he stooped down and he wrote on the ground like he didn't hear. And they continued asking. And the scriptures declare this, that he lifted himself up and he said to them, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." Then he stooped down and he continued to write on the ground. And we read that when they heard it, when they heard what he said, they were convicted in their heart. I don't know if they were convicted in the heart, but they were convicted in their conscience, weren't they? And they went out one by one from the oldest to the youngest. And when everybody left, it was just this woman and the master. This woman taken in the very act of adultery and drug in front of the Lord and all these people present. It's just her. Can you imagine her shame? Her guilt? Again, just her and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "Where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." She called him Lord. Something been revealed there. "No man, Lord." What joy must have filled her soul when our Lord spoke these words, "Neither do I condemn thee." Listen, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of the quick and the dead. He speaks to this woman and he says, "Neither do I condemn thee." Romans 8:1 says this, "There is therefore now," right now, "no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And he said, go and sin no more. That lifestyle she'd been living, that had to go. The tenor of her life, I suspect, changed that day. Go and sin no more. Now let me ask you, is there any doubt in your mind that this woman was a sinner? Easy question, isn't it? How was she saved? Grace of God. By the grace of God. How are we saved? How are all of his people saved? Just like her. By the grace of God. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, dead in sin, saved by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Neither do I condemn thee. 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works," not circumcision, not any of our works, but according to his own purpose in grace, given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Saved by grace. Let's read that text one more time in closing. Acts 15, verse 11. Peter, how are we going to be saved? We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. All right. Sean, come lead us in closing.
Okay, if you would, turn to song number 454 and stand as we sing. What a Wonderful Savior.